The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through to 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Lisa. So we've been taking a journey over the last few weeks through the first chapter of Luke. You might like to, if you've got the Bible as an app on your phone, you might want to use it. We have got loads of Bibles over here, so you might, if you'd like a Bible, then there's some over here that we can just sort of pass around a bit. There are different versions, Good News, NIV. Let's take a couple to the back. Thank you, Lisa. So, yeah. Would you like one? There you go. So it's good sometimes just to get it in context. So, and with these, you'll notice that it goes up to the end of the Old Testament with numbering, and then it starts again at 1 for the New Testament, because that makes sense, doesn't it? So the page numbers, anyone got the page? It's chapter 1 of Luke, which is towards, but if anyone gets the page number, if you want to shout it out, then... 60. Yeah, just so we're going to go for the ones we had today, so that will be 39. But we'll just chapter 1 will be enough, actually, just the beginning of Luke.
Page 61, if you've got.
Yeah, great. So, so we started by looking at the situation with Zechariah and Elizabeth, didn't we? Did anyone notice my not so deliberate mistake in saying John and Elizabeth at the beginning of my sermon the other week? No? So that was a not-so-deliberate mistake. So obviously John hadn't been born. He wasn't white. He wasn't, Elizabeth wasn't his wife, so Zechariah and Elizabeth. But so we looked at how John came about and the angel visiting them. And then we looked last week, didn't we, at the Annunciation when Jesus, the sort of right at the beginning of the sort of whole story of Jesus's coming to the earth, when Mary was visited by Angel Gabriel. And today we're looking at the situation where Elizabeth and Mary meet together, which is an amazing account. I think just incredible how she responds. And let's just pray, shall we, as we reflect on these things. Jesus, we recognize how you bring your story to earth in how you are God. And we pray, Lord, reveal to us by your inspiration of your Holy Spirit, your word to us now. Unfold it in our hearts. Help us to hear what you have to say to us and help us to respond as we apply those words to our lives and all we do in your name. Amen. So So when significant things happen, they become imprinted on our brains. It's part of the way that our bodies actually deal with being prepared for whatever happens again. So it can be both a positive and a negative thing. Sometimes things can happen to us in childhood and it becomes really difficult to get rid of those things. We find that we respond in certain ways based on those experiences that we've had. In other things, it's positive, but it's the way our bodies deal with it. And what's really interesting is it isn't necessarily the situation that we actually remember. Sometimes it can just be a smell. Now, when I say that to Sheree, she thinks that I'm really weird. She says, how can a smell remind you of anything? But am I the only person that a smell reminds me of something? No, okay, so I'm relatively normal. But I noticed that, I'm quite odd still. But everything that surrounds an event has an impact on us. It could be what we see, it could be what we hear, it could be a song or a smell or anything like that. And for me, I remember very clearly the details of our three children's birth. I remember Charlotte, who was born on Easter Sunday, which was such a blessing. And although having said that, I wouldn't have said that was quite the case when I was pulled away from my Easter Sunday roast dinner, having lost my night's sleep the night before for a false alarm. But so I remember that, and I remember particularly going and buying a newspaper. Has anyone bought a newspaper in a big event or something like that, just to, you know, I don't know why, because I never read them and they're just stuck at the moment in a box underneath my bed. But the thing is that, so that's one thing that I remember. And the next one is Harriet. I remember I was teaching a history class at the time in period one and all of a sudden I got the message, Sheree's about to give birth. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to miss it. So I got back home. I didn't break any speed limits. And then I remember very much looking at the clock on the wall for when she was born. Which was 5 p.m., which we celebrated yesterday because it was her birthday. And then Alice, when she was born, well, she came in a bit of a rush. Sheree was induced, and I remember going back home, and I just remember a picture of leaving the house to go back to the hospital because I'd been called. A really weird thing that is imprinted on my brain. Of course, I prayed into the birth of all of our children, and we gave thanks for each of them at the time that they were born. But also, I was reflecting on how it's really interesting in that when I look back, my reflections are quite factual. I'm recollecting certain facts, and I can list things that happened. I can list some feelings, but the depth of my notes, when I've written some notes on these things, I did loads for Charlotte, a few less for Harriet, and I don't know where my notes are for Alice. But the thing is that as I've gone through, I realised that actually my notes stopped at that point of remembering facts. Mary's reflections on her time with Elizabeth have been written down too, haven't they? And whilst we've read an overview of her time with her relation, most of what we've heard is a song of thanks to God. She speaks of such hope and joy, doesn't she? Just take a look at those verses, starting at verse 46. I wonder how Mary's train of thought had gone over the time between her meeting with the angel and her visit with her relation Elizabeth. We know that Mary was a thoughtful person. She recollected, as having pondered the events of Jesus' birth as they unfolded. At the start of Luke's record of Jesus' life, he says this. If you take a look at the beginning of chapter 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theopas, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. Even though the gospel was written some years after Jesus was born, the sheer amount of personal information that could have only come from Mary suggests that Luke either spoke with her or that someone close to Mary had shared these things with him. Only Mary would have witnessed all of the events that we've heard that are mentioned by Luke in Jesus' birth. And I can imagine her telling people the story of her son's birth for the rest of her life, just as we do every time our girls have a birthday. Maybe Mary said to Jesus every year, "And then the shepherds came and were singing your praises, speaking about angels and how amazing it was." That's a bit of a different way of explaining how someone was born. What stood out for me when reflecting on all of this is that my story about the run-up to our children being born was very factual. And what Mary focused on, massively focused on God and who he is, rather than reminiscing about how things unfolded. For Mary, God's goodness and provision was not just the icing on the cake, but the cake itself. God is a central part to her story, and of course Jesus' story too. Luke reports in verse 41, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Both she and the baby in her womb cried out with joy." John the Baptist was already pointing the way to Jesus, and he was yet to be born. While I can't imagine how amazing being in the presence of the unborn king must have been, looking around, I know that a number of us have experienced the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit, God dwelling in our hearts. The peace and the joy that that brings through experiencing God this way is absolutely amazing, isn't it? And it's unforgettable. Paul says to his friends in Rome, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This was the way of life for Mary. And we see that in the words she shared with Elizabeth. "And Mary said," this is verse 46, "and Mary said that her very soul magnifies, picks up, enthuses about, praises the greatness of God." She gives six reasons for this. And they begin in verse 48. "For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. His mercy is for those who fear him. He has shown strength with his arm. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has filled the hungry with good things." Mary shows great humility. She praises God for who he is and how he has demonstrated his character in his actions. She shouts about God's kindness in verse 48, "for he's looked with favor on lowness of his servant." She heralds God's goodness in verse 49, "for the Mighty One has done great things for me." Mary recognizes God's mercy in verse 50, "his mercy is for those who fear him." And 54, "he has helped his servant Israel." She pronounces God's power, 51, "he has shown strength with his arm." And Mary asserts God's authority in verse 52. "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones." And finally, claims God's compassion. Verse 53. "He has filled the hungry with good things." Don't forget, this was a time when Mary was potentially still contending with being known as a woman who'd become pregnant out of marriage. Despite that, she found peace and comfort not in her own reputation or standing based on privilege of carrying the Savior of the world, but in God. We can respond to compliments in many different ways, can't we? And two ends of the scale we see, we can either shy away and are embarrassed by a compliment, or completely at the other end of the scale, our egos can be inflated a bit and our heads can't fit out of doors. Mary doesn't become big-headed, does she, when Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Mary doesn't boast about the blessing that she's had or the angel who's visited her. Neither did she shy away. Mary remained grounded in the truth about her God and aware of his grace in her life. She did that by proclaiming how good God is. When people compliment us on a gift, skill, or blessing in life, when our great-grandchildren or grandchildren hear something amazing about our lives, maybe, do we speak about God's goodness and provision? Do we speak about the Lord's kindness and mercy, power and authority, and his endless compassion in ours and others' lives? You see, I don't know about you, but people, when I think about that, my instinct is to think, if I was to do that, people would think that I was odd. You know? Somebody once said to me, oh, Paul, thanks very much. I played the organ in the first church I went. I learned. I played the piano and I taught myself how to play the organ. Very good for weddings. That became quite helpful. But the thing was that actually somebody once came to me and said, thanks so much for that. And I was sort of, oh, no, please don't thank me. And he said, Paul, give thanks to God. He said, give thanks to God for his goodness because he's given you a gift. Don't shy away from it. You know, just because you're saying thank you. But that doesn't mean to say that we then need to go into reams, sentences and sentences of just stuff about, God's amazing and this and that and the other. But we can say, yeah, well, I'm just thanking God that he gave me that gift because I really enjoy it. And I'm pleased that you're enjoying it too. You know, that's something which praises God. In time with Mary, these characteristics of God were seen and expressed in action as God walked the earth amongst his people in Jesus. But we also see from Mary's words that we can live in a way that is Christ-like if we adopt these characteristics as our own. If we try and become more like God, more in character like Jesus, because these are characteristics that we see in him. And then we don't need to worry about boasting because we know Jesus didn't. But we can recognize God's goodness in those things. We can be humble in response to God's own humility. We can claim God's goodness and the great things that he's done in our life, recognizing his mercy, power, and authority in all situations, most beautifully expressed through his forgiveness and compassion shown to us in Jesus. Like Mary, our own encouragement for living this way can be found in God's grace, which was seen on the cross as Jesus died for our wrongdoings and then was raised back to life. So I wonder, what could you bring as your song to God today? What thing in your life do you most want to say thank you to God for? Do you most want to recognize God's kindness or proclaim his goodness or his mercy or power or authority or compassion over? What one thing would you choose today? And what would be your personal prayer to him, your song in your heart? I'm going to suggest that we leave some space, that we just reflect on God's goodness in our lives. And then in our hearts, quietly, we just bring a prayer to him. Just a couple of things that you're thankful for, maybe. Or maybe a chat with him. Depends on how your love language with God is. So we're talking about kindness, we're talking about proclaiming God's goodness, we're talking about God's mercy, his power, his authority, and his compassion. Let's just do that for a moment.